Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is All Things Elite. Welcome back to All Things Elite. Load up the pod, man, it's on when we speak. Rich right here, let me warm it up for Austin and Floyd. Couldn't be no one but the boys. When it come to All Things Elite from the fan perspective, swear, man, it ain't no question. Hear from them first. Swear, man, they putting in the work. No, they had to get me for the verse. Social Suplex Network Zone. I was at a time in your headphones. Austin and Floyd on the microphone. Backing out on the rant, getting in the zone. Pulling up the show, give it 7 stars, you already know. Who else could it be but the show with the proclivity for a positivity? I'm gone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 244th episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with a proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. My name is Austin Sumwood, and I am the host of this lovely show. Joining with me, as always, is my good buddy and friend, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. My man, how are you doing?
I am doing fan-effing-tastic. We just talked about this. None of you, no person listening to the show may care, but I have been dealing with something for my PS5 for a while where it just turns off. When you're playing, when you're just turned off. I thought it was Madden because it only happened when I played Madden. If I played Gran Turismo, if I played Harry Potter, Hogwarts Legacy, I could play for 12 hours. System would never cut off. But when I played Madden and I started a game, it turned off. So I was like, well, when college gets there, I'll remove Madden off my system. It'll be over. Got college, dude. I didn't even have to be playing a game. I could be just recruiting. And I don't know if it's that Sony's or EA Sports games like push the system to the limit or whatever, but this shit was cutting up every 30 minutes. And then, it literally now, it didn't matter what I was playing or what I was doing, my system would only stay on between 40 minutes and 2 hours. So I did my own troubleshooting, realized it was the power supply. Took it to a place to get it fixed. They kept my ship for 2.5 days to tell me they think it's the power supply. I already told you it's the power supply.
It's like, I know this.
I know this. So I took it back, and I was like, you know what? I got London coming up, all in or whatever. I don't really want to spend $500 on a PS5. What I'll do is just play it, you know, the annoying way that I have to play it right now. And then get ready for the PS5. Get ready. And so after London, I'll just buy me a new PS5. Well, I started looking online, saw that the power supply is fairly easy to replace. But if anyone knows me, that you might know me, I have a medical condition. I have, it's called an essential tremor. So my hands shake uncontrollably. Stressful situations, it gets worse. I'm meeting someone I like, it gets worse, but my hands constantly shake. So taking apart and putting back together a computer is not in my purview, hence me buying the new one. Well, my friend Rusty, I was out with him. He said, oh, hell, I can do it. So I ordered the power supply. It took forever to get here. I paid $4 extra on Amazon Prime, so it'll be here by like Monday. And it got here today. And I was like trying to make plans for when Rusty could come over and help. And he was like, I'm on the way now. I was like, oh, fuck. So he came over. We replaced it. Only 2 extra screws. Only 2 extra screws. Dude, you don't understand. On a PS5, to get down, you basically have to take the whole computer apart to get to the power supply.
Right.
And there is no basically. Yes, you took the motherboard out. The whole computer was apart to get to the power supply. And there were like 100 screws. And that is not an exaggeration. Literally 100 screws. So he's just unscrewing. We get it in. And he's like, oh, we got 2 extra screws. I was like, shit, as long as it turns on, I don't care. So I brought it back in here. And he's like, I didn't want to break it or anything. I was like, well, understand, you're playing with house money. Because my plan was to buy a new PlayStation 5. So if you break it, shit, I was going to buy a new PlayStation 5 anyway. So it's right. Not that big a deal. So it is running since 5:30 Central Time. It is now 11:20 Central Time, and it is still going. Hallelujah. I thought getting college football was going to be the best day of my year. Fixing my PS5. I even got a new controller. I bought the warranty on my controller this time because I've been getting stick drift on my controllers. But yes.
Yeah.
Praise the world. Praise everything. Praise Rusty. Praise Rusty for coming over here, getting this done. He's a good dude. He's the best dude. I'm very, very happy with that. And yeah.
Absolutely.
And then we have something big to talk about. Me and Austin both experienced something over the last week.
Yes. It's called Deadpool and Wolverine, which is taking the world by storm. We'll be very quick on this because you basically can't talk much about this movie without spoiling it. So all I will say is, as somebody who has watched the previous 2 Deadpool movies and has loved them and heavily enjoyed them, oh, I had such a good feeling walking out of that movie theater when I saw that. We ended up seeing it like Friday night because my sister was terrified of getting spoiled. So she's like, we have to see it day of. I'm like, fair enough. And I had a busy ass freaking week. Like I had no time off basically these last like 4 days. I think from Friday to Tuesday, I was like just nonstop working and just exhausted. But I was very glad that we chose to see that movie. It's incredible. I actually just got the soundtrack on vinyl, which comes with a Deadpool disc and a Wolverine disc. So one vinyl's black and red, the other one's blue and yellow. It looks awesome. And it's just so funny because they have The Greatest Showman on the fucking vinyl. It's incredible. I love the fact that that's on the Deadpool soundtrack, The Greatest Showman, because Hugh Jackman, it's amazing. Movie's awesome. I recommend everyone go and see it, even if you're not a big Marvel fan. And more importantly, I think the biggest thing is that if you are a Marvel fan, you're going to love this movie. If you grew up with Marvel movies that were made by Fox, so any of the X-Men Fantastic Four movies, this movie will be your shit. Like, no question.
Dude, as soon as I got out, I posted greatest movie of all time. I do not think it's the greatest movie of all time. That was hyperbole because I was in that feeling. Like restore the feeling has been a catchphrase for AEW. But it restored my movie-going feeling. I am an AMC A-plus person where I can go see 3 movies a week. And I've literally seen, like, nothing this summer. That was the first movie. Deadpool and Wolverine was the first movie I've seen since Bad Boys. At the beginning of June. And because I just thought this summer season, the movies were shit. Twister, honestly, it was because of Collision. I haven't seen that. I've heard nothing but good things about Twisters. But I planned to see it tomorrow, but then I realized that I had a concert, so I'm going to see Ice Cube tomorrow. So whatever.
There you go.
Yeah. So no, but talking about this movie was amazing, and there are three characters to remain nameless that show up that long forgotten, basically. And let me tell you, by the end of that movie, I want a Disney Plus. Give me a series with those three people interacting with each other. Their chemistry was off the fucking chain to me. They had amazing chemistry. And in the movie, Hugh Jackman, Ryan Reynolds, amazing chemistry.
It's incredible just seeing Hugh Jackman playing Wolverine. Because you saw Logan, I assume?
I, of course, saw Logan, yes.
Yeah, just making sure. After that, like, it's crazy to me that he came back to play this character, because he was adamant that, like, you know, that was just too good of an ending to leave things off on, that you can't come back. And then Deadpool 1 comes out, and he's like, I think I need to come back.
So, your brain... Apparently, I found out today. I am not a comic book guy, right? But I understand the concept of the multiverse, where you can have a person be the same person, but a different person, right?
Right.
It is, with the announcement of last week, Robert Downey Jr. was coming to the MCU.
Yes.
The MCU. People's brains were broken. And I'm just like, chill. They're not bringing back the guy that died. I'm just gonna say that. And that's the whole, the whole thing with this movie. No spoilers. Just give it a chance. Watch it. I think it's one of the funniest movies. Like, I have not enjoyed a movie as much as this, because I enjoyed the shit out of Bad Boys. Don't get me wrong. But this Deadpool and Wolverine was such the level that it was Guardians of the Galaxy 3 to me. Because the Guardians of the Galaxy guys, I forget how to say his name, that did all the later Thor movies, they have mastered action comedy. Like, this movie was a masterpiece in action comedy. This was so good. So good. It never felt over the top. It never, to me, this is all my opinions, it never felt cheesy. It never felt like, you know, any of that. And then it gave us all these nostalgia and all these references. And, dude, I want to wait 3 weeks, because a month is usually the cutoff on spoilers. And I want to come back and rediscuss it, because I plan to see it again, first of all. And I have just so many lines and quotes and all that stuff that I want to spit out here, but I don't want to even possibly ruin it for someone that hasn't seen the movie. So I say, go see it. If you can't afford to see it, at Floyd Johnson Jr., hit me up. I will buy you a movie ticket. That's how much I want to see this movie.
All right. Well, we'll leave things off on that, and we'll get into our AEW coverage. Now, we were unable to record last week for our Blood and Guts review, which killed me inside, because I wanted to do the show so badly.
Wrestling got in the way of wrestling for me. Me going to watch Death Before Dishonor and Collision got in the way of me recording the show.
Yep, and then when he came back, I was stuck in my week of hell, basically.
Yeah.
Where I was covering... I was working on my own for 4 days straight, through covering one media day for a college football team that I had to cover, and then also a massive boxing event happening in downtown Detroit with one of our local boxers, that I got into work at 5 o'clock in the afternoon and came back home at 4:30 in the morning the next day.
Y'all don't know nothing about my girl Clarissa. She will mess you up. She will mess you up.
Second round TKO.
Yes, I am terrified of that woman.
She is a badass.
Dude, I just like, she's just like, she has that killer instinct, that monster, you know. I love it about her. And
if AEW managed to get Clarissa Shields to, like,
do anything.
Do some sort of appearance. Yeah. Yes. Like, it would be the coolest thing in the world. Or just have her in an appearance with wrestling. Because I saw, I'm pretty sure it was one of her boxing friends appeared on WWE and she shared it on Instagram or something. And I was just like, get into wrestling somehow, Clarissa, because you got such a way of talking people into a building for a fight. I want to see her just like jaw with somebody and just like, you know, talk shit and then just smack someone upside the head.
Dude, I love fights. Don't get me wrong.
We love that. We love that stuff. We love that stuff. Yeah. So we weren't able to talk about Blood and Guts. We're going to mention the match and a couple things from that show because I just have to because we weren't able to. And then we'll go over this past week of AEW. And, of course, Floyd being able to be in his wrestling that he got to experience. So we'll talk about that, too. So before we get into everything, though, we want to make sure you guys are downloading this fine show on YouTube Music or Apple Podcasts. If you listen to us on Spotify or wherever you choose to listen to us, please give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. And rate, review, and subscribe so you don't miss a single episode of the podcast. And if you're so inclined, you can follow us on Twitter at ATElitePod. You can also follow at Social Suplex, who make this show possible. Check out all the other shows they have on their network. I am at Austin Sumowitz, SZUMOWICZ. And Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. And the big news of the week is that, as of now, the exclusive negotiating window for AEW and Warner Brothers Discovery has come to a close. So, Floyd, do you want to go into more detail on that?
Yeah, so it's reported for Fightful. AEW still hopes to. It was Fightful and a whole bunch of sites that Warner basically confirmed that the exclusive window is done. The reason this matters to you as a wrestling fan is because this literally opens the door for AEW to be on another channel. I think all intents and purposes from Mr. Tony Khan is that they don't go anywhere. I don't know Tony Khan, so I'll make that very clear. But I believe that he hasn't really changed that about how he thinks about it, is that all intents and purposes, everything there, they're going to still be on the channel. And I hope they do come to a deal. And it's like I said, I've been speculating, and then the NBA and all that stuff. And apparently Warner Bros. Discovery is about to sue the NBA to try to get the right to match the deal.
Yeah, it's a whole different complete thing.
Yeah, so that all lines up. It's all money. You know, money rules this world, so. Yeah, money is affecting wrestling hardcore right now. Don't pretend like it's not. And I hope, you know, like all we can do as fans is just hope that it turns out okay, you know? So.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
I mean, like, not a lot we can do as fans. It was like, we can just hope that it all turns out. You know, I have a feeling that, you know, AEW will be signing a deal and we'll still be on, the Turner Network. So that's all I can do is hope that's
exactly
the case. Yeah. So let's see. It was like this whole thing is like no longer for me. I don't know how everybody else feels about it. You can feel the way you feel, but for me, it's been like this. Like I wish this was all done. Like
same.
Like. And for me, it's not about the WWE people or anything like that. I just want 5 years, lock it down, you know we're going to be, you know, doing rocking with AEW for 5 years and be done.
Let's just go.
Yeah. And then we can start worrying about, and most importantly, I want them to announce that the pay-per-view is going to HBO Max. That is my
That's the biggest reason. Yes.
Completely selfish. I have no bones about saying this is completely selfish as a person that has literally ordered every pay-per-view AEW has. It's just, I feel like having the pay-per-view, if it has been a great source of income for them, I'm guessing, but dude, when you're trying to get somebody to follow AEW along with WWE and they're only paying $4.99 a month, for WWE pay-per-views. And they're like, how much are AEW pay-per-views? It's like, it's 50. Yeah. So I do what I can. So, yeah, like I was saying, it would just be, you know, you're trying to sell someone on giving AEW a shot. And you're like, well, you already get your max through AT&T and their pay-per-views come on max. You'd be like, oh, you already get your max through some other thing. Most people don't. Like, most people have max through something else. It's not like people don't just go sign up for max. I guess some people do, but it would, like, I already have AT&T. And so my max has been free. So the idea that my pay-per-views would go from literally paying an absorbent amount of money every time it comes on to just being able to watch it for free, for me, financially, would be amazing. And for other people, it would open the door for more people to see it.
Right.
Because I know, you know, despite what they say every now and all the time, there's this thing called cable and it's streaming. It's not free. I know TNT, TBS, free TV. It's not free TV. Over the air,
yeah.
NBC, ABC, Fox, all those stuff. Those are free TV. If you have to have a subscription to get your channel, it is not on free TV. I'm just got to throw that out there. It's one
Correct,
of those
yeah.
things that they do. That it's one of those things that they say repeatedly that just bothers me. On free TV. No, it's not free. Well, yeah. Stop saying it. No, I'm excited. I'm excited for what it is, but it's just like, most importantly, just want them to get a deal done. That's it for me. It's like, let's get a deal.
Exactly.
Let's do the deal, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's that. Now, like I said, we wanted to get into bits of covering Blood and Guts because, like I said, I was completely locked off from being able to cover Blood and Guts last week. The one thing, those two basic things that we'll talk about basically is that MJF has completely changed the name of the International Championship, and he has now turned it into the American Championship. He did a whole USA promo, dropped a flag behind him on Blood and Guts, and he's gone full heel with the USA mindset because he is getting ready to go into the UK as the biggest heel of all.
Easily, yes. When they said this match was happening, I just had this feeling. I was like, MJF could win this against Will, and he did. And then the way they've taken it, to me, has only enhanced everything.
Yeah, he threw the champion. He threw the international title into the garbage.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's yeah, he's a dick. And no matter what anyone says, this is MJF's natural habitat. This is where it's who he is as far as what characters he works best in. Like, I think he's amazing no matter what he's doing. I want to make that clear, but this is where he lives. Like, being this shitty person is what he does better than anybody in wrestling. He's the best. Mm-hmm. He's the best heel in wrestling without, you know, just there's no real question about it. It's like when he's doing his thing. I mean, he's so good at it. People don't want to boo him, you know, that kind of thing. And it's like,
right.
I mean, it's, you know, like some people say, well, he's not really ill. Well, he's that good at it. I mean, we're at that point in wrestling where you have to accept that, you know, because people know the story, when you have a good performance, whether it is a bad guy, good guy, whatever you are, people appreciate a good performance. And that's what MJF always brings, is a good performance. So.
Right,
I am over the moon about him being in his natural habitat. FTR, you know, like I've been pretty much clamoring for FTR to come back to the dark side for a long time. So it was kind of like, it was crazy seeing that, you know what I mean? So there you go.
Yeah, exactly. And then the last thing we'll talk about from Blood and Guts is the Blood and Guts match. which was Jesus Christ, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Floyd, I mean, just... It's tough, you know, because the Blood and Guts matches have been so much of their own entity. It's been very hard to determine, like, which one you would say is maybe the best one. I might be biased because of the one that was in Detroit.
And you know me, I'm all for you being biased because you were there. I say that all the time. When I do my matches of the year, they're going to be the ones I was at because they just mean more to me. You know, that kind of thing. So,
yeah, this one was just, this was something else. All right.
I thought they, you know, they went with the whole idea that they, you know, they were kind of not on the same page going to the match. And I was like, man, that's going to lead the Elite to win. And then,
but then they failed to realize that as soon as Hangman got into the match, he really didn't care about winning the damn thing
at all, at all. He did not care about winning it at all. He wanted to beat up Swerve. He didn't give a damn.
And he did. He gave that man hell for quite some time.
Yes. And it was like, I love the whole idea that he never entered the match. So the Young Bucks are pissed because they're like, hey, the match doesn't start until you get in the ring. So, hey, idiot, get in the ring. You know, that kind of thing. And it was just.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah,
the freaking staplers being used. I will go on record and say that Okada going for the Rainmaker, then flipping off Swerve, only to get his middle finger stapled, is the funniest spot in pro wrestling, bar none. At the very least, the funniest spot that we've gotten this year. I was losing my mind. I was laughing so hard when that happened. It was so funny. So funny. Darby Allin did some fucking wild stuff too, climbing up to the top of, like, climbing up basically upside down of the cage itself, and then, you know,
hitting a coffin drop from the top of the cage. I've seen people say this, and I watched it back, and I agree. Mark Briscoe was the MVP of this match. But...
Yes, dude, that dude was going crazy. And I think he heavily made up for when he missed the table in the in the Anarchy in the Arena match.
So was he the only one in both matches?
I think so.
Yeah. I think, like, you know, like from the AEW side. So really, Mark Briscoe is Mr. AEW. So no, and then he did the fiery promo ever. I mean, we've been getting them, but I really do need a Mark Briscoe promo every week. If I am not dieting well, I literally would pay Cameo for Mark Briscoe to give me a fire up promo. Because after he talks, I want to fight people I'm not even mad at. Okay?
Yes.
He just gets me there. I'm like, dude, oh yeah, oh my God, why didn't you give me extra mustard on my burger? Let's go. Now, Mark Briscoe gets you fired up. And it's just like, it's such a high energy promo. And it's like, you want to think, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. But once you like listen to it, it's like, yeah, everything he makes perfect sense. It moves the Fury's storyline forward and people laugh. So when you can do all of that in one promo, you are uniquely talented.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And then, of course, you know, we've learned how Jack Perry can't draw heat, so he tried to set himself on fire for the second fucking time. And that was what caused them to be like, no, you're going too far. Stop it, please. Even though the dude got set on fire once before, how is this too far? If anything, this went to the same level as Anarchy in the Arena, but y'all just didn't want to do it again. Jack was hanging against the cage, full on, like, please, like, look at my Jesus metaphor. And this dude was begging to be set on fire. Because, I mean, again, like, the heat aura off of his body, just standard, non-existent. You set him on fire, and then maybe this kid can actually draw heat.
I thought... Only Jack Perry did have a part to play in the only problem I had in this match, the ending. it took forever for them to get to that point.
Oh my God, yeah, it did.
I did not, like, where was the fucking lighter? What are you trying to do? It felt like you know, you got Swerve, Okada, all of them just laying somewhere where you can't see them. It's like, dude, you
start everyone looking, knows what's happening.
Yeah, and you start looking at the watch, and it's like, man, okay. And I like literally checked out for a second while he was looking for the thing, and checked back in. I'm like, man, this ain't over yet. No, it probably only lasted a minute and a half, but it was such a dead period in the match that it felt like it was like 20 minutes, even though it was probably a way shorter amount of time than that.
Right, exactly. And then, you know, it was a good way for having them win, and then Darby Allin getting his match against Jack Perry at All In. So you know, Team AEW finally won a match.
So Darby Allin's a little belt greedy right now.
Yes.
So he gets the title. He threatens Jack Perry's life to get a title match at All In. And then the next night on Rampage, they have the Rampage Rumble where the winner gets a title shot at Grand Slam. And yeah, Darby Allin just wins that too. Yeah, no big deal. No big deal. So listen to what this human being did. He wrestled in that match, threw himself around, went to the back, maybe cleaned up a little, maybe redid his face paint, and then came out and did a battle royal the same night.
Psycho.
The same night. I'm telling you, Darby Allin is that person. I didn't like him. And he just completely just said,
dude,
he beat me over the head until I loved him. And now it's like, I don't like him. I love him. Because
exactly.
That dude leaves everything out there. I know, cliche, he leaves everything out. No, he really does. He throws himself. If that match was to end with him being set on fire and then thrown down on some tacks, he would have been okay with it. He is, he's all in, and it's just, if you don't see it in the energy and the way he throws his body around in matches, I don't know what to tell you. That dude is like one of my favorite wrestlers, and it's like all about his passion and commitment to it. And because he wrestles the way he does, he forces you to appreciate every moment you get with him, because you don't know how long his body's going to be able to put up with it.
Yeah. And then, the one other thing that people wanted to talk about was the chair shot that Jack Perry took, where he was chained up against the cage and then took a chair shot to the head directly. And that wasn't even a fucking like new spot. You know, yes. That was ECW in the mid-90s did that spot. Tommy Dreamer to Raven's head.
I will take a quote from Mr. QT Marshall. I do not deserve to know exactly how they make those chair shots safe.
Yes.
But they have told me the chairs are gimmicked. They make it the chair shot safe. And I'm going to believe that. Just like I believe when I'm watching a movie and they're doing a fight scene that everything was done safely. Right? I am not going to sit here and be like, oh my God, it made me cringe. If it did, it did. But it's wrestling. You are watching simulated violence.
Mm-hmm.
If you're weak and it bothers you to watch it, maybe you find something else that entertains you. I don't know what to tell you, man.
Right.
I don't like barbed wire matches, exploding matches, all these matches we've had. Shit. Man, the amount of blood CM Punk and MJF did in just their dog collar match.
Mm-hmm.
Cody and Dustin is like, if you don't understand AEW is different, I don't know what to do for you. And again, I think a lot of it is, I think they call it concern trolling or something. I don't even know. It's fake. I think it's fake. It's like, oh, if they did in WWE, it was like, oh, that was so amazing. Oh, my God. I wonder how they did that to make it safe. And, you know, and you give them the benefit of the doubt. But it's AEW, so, of course, they're trying to kill their people. Even though pretty much everybody that's worked at AEW still walking, you know? They're still walking. They're still around. A lot of them are in other companies. It's like Cody took that dangerous hair shot. He's the fucking main eventer on WWE.
Exactly. Right? And that one was confirmed to be gimmick. It was just like edge of the chair caught him.
Yeah, and he bled. And it's fine. And he's fine. So I don't know. I don't know. Maybe this is not for you. I want it to be for you. I want everyone to watch AEW. I want AEW to be like a very high grossing thing. And everybody makes a lot of money and all the wrestlers get huge contracts and everything. But dude, I can't. I've been watching wrestling over 40 years. And that's the one that like, oh my God. Motherfucker, I saw Mick Foley get hit with a non-gimmick chair like 17 times in a match. The dudes wrote like 4 bestsellers. What are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing? It's a dangerous, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. We have literally had, unfortunately, people die on movie sets that are much more closed and controlled and quote-unquote safe. You make it as safe as possible. And you trust the people that you're watching know what the fuck they're doing. And that's all I do. Is I trust that the people that I'm watching, the performers, the medical staff, everybody that works at AEW knows what the hell they're doing. So I'm reacting to the story, not to my, oh my God, I wonder if he's really hurt.
Pretty much it. I know, dude. I know. I'm right there with you, dude.
What are we doing?
Yep, so that's all we wanted to mention with Blood and Guts because, of course, we had to talk about the match itself. But Floyd, of course, spent his week. He got to go to Collision and to Death Before Dishonor. So I do want to pass it off to Floyd to share his experiences with that time period and how he felt just and how he enjoyed his time at the show before we get into this week's Dynamite.
ROH was an extremely fun show. If you happen to have a ROH account or one that you can borrow or whatever, it's not a waste of time to watch the show. I marvel how over Athena is. I don't understand how she doesn't main event every ROH show because she is the face of ROH. You can see Mark Briscoe on Wednesdays. I know he's the world champion, but you see him on Wednesdays literally every week. You see him on Saturdays. I think he works every fucking day because I truly think he's on every show. Shout out to Mark Briscoe. You can see a lot of the other people on AEW programming. Athena has been basically ROH exclusive.
Yes.
And she is one of the best women's wrestlers. In my opinion, she is one of the best women's wrestlers in the world. She's also one of my favorite to watch because it's such hard-hitting, such physical, and she does a really good job of getting her opponents over. I thought Queen Amanada looked amazing in their match, too. And then Athena, through some dastardly deeds, won, but she was in Dallas, so nobody cares. And I truly believe when she loses the title, if they ever do the thing where she loses the title, it has to be in Dallas. Because it's just like, she's a goddess in Dallas. Like she could literally go and punch a baby, and the Dallas fans would cheer. They would not care a bit, because that's how over Athena is. She came out in this mask, white mask gimmick. Somebody's into anime or whatever, and video games, and know exactly what that is. Floyd is not one. I thought it looked cool as hell. And shout out to Red Velvet and Billy Starks. They came out in Deadpool and Wolverine gear.
Yes, they did.
And then, so Thunder Rosa didn't get the Miro because she did Wolverine clothes on Collision. And then the Infantry did X-Men 97 clothes.
So, everyone was getting all their X-Men stuff.
Yeah, everybody. There was a lot of blue, yellow, and red. Everybody was getting their X-Men stuff. So even I love it when it crosses over because you know that had to be because Deadpool and Wolverine came out that weekend. Oh, so it's just like, so it was like, oh, the giving some love. I saw quite a few Deadpool and Wolverine shirts at the show. But I am happy to report that the most popular shirt on Collision, the most popular shirt, I saw No Flips and Just Fists from the Revival. I literally saw all generations of FTR from their oldest stuff to their newest stuff. And yes, FTR is the team of Collision. Texas is FTR country. The one time I went to a meet and greet and it sold out was in Dallas. Dallas is FTR country. They just need to call it that because, man, fucking Texas rules when it comes to it. And if you understand fucking Texas rules means FTR. You see? You get what I mean there? Boom. No, I was just very good and excited. And then I got to live a dream that's been around for 36 years that I thought would long go away. I've always wanted to see the Von Erichs live, and I didn't get to see the first generation of the Von Erichs live, obvious reasons, but I got to see the Sons. I've seen Ross and Marshall quite a bit. We actually had dinner at IHOP, as in they had dinner, and then I bought it and then left. So not actually together. But we got to see them have a moment with Dustin Rhodes and win the six-man ROH titles. They did a great job of building up the importance. Dustin Rhodes crying because he won the titles. That was everything. So, yeah, I just had a really, really good time. They were giving away tickets to the ROH taping the next day, free tickets. So if you live in that Dallas area, you know, and you go to the shows, make sure you're supporting ROH. The next day I had to get home, so I couldn't. But I had a fantastic time. Got to see MXM, Mansoor, and Mason Madden against FTR, which is, it was funny because I saw them tonight and they were on the pre-show or the 0 hour for ROH. And I was literally about to tweet. I was typing up a tweet to say, I need MXM against FTR. Then they cut their promo challenging RTR. So I was like, I didn't even have to send it out. They already knew what I wanted. They're a really good tag team. When they're doing their thing, look at them. Their timing's well. They have their act down. It's basically their act from WWE, but they have it down, and they work it into the match where it's not cheesy. And, yeah, you don't know large until you see Mason Madden, a.k.a. former NFL offensive lineman Brennan Williams, up
dude
close.
Is huge.
He is so fucking huge. And it's just like, I don't know what he could have been because he's huge, he moves well, and everything. Why he wasn't, like, just pushed to the moon in WWE, that's neither here nor there. But I was very excited to see him. I was very entertained. But, of course, they had to get Shatter Machine 1-2-3.
Right.
Really good show. I wish it could have stayed. You know, I wish it could have did ROH the next day. But it was, yeah, we had a really good time.
I'm glad to hear, man. I'm glad to hear. With that, though, out of the way, we can go ahead and we can get moving into our AEW Dynamite reviews from this past Wednesday, July 31st, the show opened up with the American champion MJF coming down, showing, demanding respect for everyone's American hero. Will Ospreay came and chased after him, and he basically said, keep running because I'm going to put you through pain you can't even imagine, and very much was doing the, you know, hey, Yanks love their country, I love my country, but not a single person will acknowledge that championship because there's a prick who's holding it right now. You took the international championship and threw it into the trash like it was garbage. People have worked hard to make that title have lineage. Myself, Pac, Moxley, Orange Cassidy, Rey Fénix, Roderick Strong, and you do not fit the criteria, and it doesn't represent the American work ethic. And when you come to my home turf, I will restore honor to the international championship. MJF called everyone disgusting turncoats and said he's going to annihilate him. And then he then calls out for the Murderhawk monster, Lance Archer, to come out. He's like, you're not going to make it to Wembley, bruv, because tonight everybody dies. And that's when we led right into Lance Archer versus Will Ospreay.
Greenville, South Carolina. I don't know anyone from Greenville, South Carolina, so take this as personally as you want. Y'all kind of sucked.
I was just going to say, dude, like, they did not respond to this at all.
They were like, they did not care. I don't know if it was the American style promo in the world that we're in right now.
I was going to say, dude, I will say right now, I understand the mindset that they're going with the, you know, MJF's going in as the Yank over to the UK and he's facing the hometown kid. So he's playing it up even more so and being this over the top bombastic American hero character. Which, you know, is a character that works. Kurt Angle has proved that alone. However, we've noticed that the...
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water. Enjoy. And watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
How do we put it? The nationalist kind of segments or feuds, at least from the one that we got in AEW, did not work at all. Because Cody versus our boy that we love more than anything. We love Anthony Ogogo. Yes. We vouch for Anthony Ogogo every chance that we get, both myself and Floyd. But man, that feud did not work. And the crowd was not receptive to it at all. So I give them credit that they're going to try to do another like feud based around, you know, like, I guess patriotism for one's country in a sense. Now obviously when they get over to the UK it won't matter because Will Ospreay is going to be treated like a god.
So,
but
yeah,
for people in the States, I was like, I'm interested to see how they vibe with this, you know.
Yeah, because this is for very much reverse Cody. It's reverse Cody and Anthony Ogogo.
Yes.
You know, like, the American's the bad guy. And it's just like, I mean, even I remember when watching it the first time, I was like, well, maybe that's how they should, you know, look at this as America being the bad guy, you know, because, you know, the fans kind of rejected Cody, you know, that time. And it was like, and it sucked. So it was just like, maybe, you know, you doing it the opposite way at work. Man, the fans were not feeling it. I'm not saying, like I said, it may work. This may go over, be the hottest thing in England because, they have pride in their country. But here, oh, man, they were just like, and it was like, and they started chanting USA, and it's just like, you know he's talking positive, right?
Exactly.
About, like, he's not talking negative about America.
No, exactly, and that's the thing. He's saying that, and then he goes, he proceeds to be like, you know, hey, I get it. You guys, like, you care about your country. I care about my country and all that kind of stuff. It's like, it's weird trying to have Will be this like baby face, but not be like, again, it's a weird dynamic. It's going to work for the match because, you know, Will's going to be, like I said, he will be the biggest star in that building when he makes his entrance in Wembley Stadium, and MJF will get booed out of the building. Leading up to it, though, I'm very much intrigued to see how this continues to, like, if it does get receptive from the crowds, or if it's very similar to what we got this time.
Yeah, I completely agree. I was just like, I was like, this is a choice. You know, it's yes. Like, you're like, I'm not going to say it's a bad choice, but this is a choice, and you got to kind of live with it, and they were living with it. And, you know, I'm hoping better reaction in different places. Like, you know, you can pretty much do what you want in Arlington. Everybody in Texas, always a hot crowd. But Greenville, South Carolina, they were sitting on their hands.
A little bit. Just a little bit.
And I'm like, okay. I mean, hey. I mean, this ain't theater. You know that. You can cheer, right? It's, you can get loud. This isn't theater. It's wrestling.
Yes, it is. We'll move over now to the match itself, Will Ospreay versus Lance Archer. This was very solid, I thought. This was a really good match. And then it had a nice chance for MJF to get a lot of heat as he jumps Will Ospreay. And then Kyle Fletcher, he comes in because there was a bit of, like, Kyle Fletcher, like, how was he going to get involved after, you know, he was kind of on the outside during Forbidden Door, kind of looking at Ospreay after he lost to Swerve Strickland. Like, yeah. They were just kind of watching that. Like, I was interested what the deal was going to be. And he came to the aid of Will Ospreay, and he talked about how Don Callis, he's like, I know you said not getting involved with Ospreay's business because he's not family business anymore, but he's my best friend. And basically he stood up for Will Ospreay, and he said, Max, I am the karma coming to bite you in the ass. And again, he talks about how he doesn't give a damn about America. All you care about is what's best for MJF. And I heard what you said about foreign wrestlers. And then he dreamed about moving to this country and wrestling, all this type of stuff. So then they basically get it down. MJF does his typical, you fight me right now? And he's like, no. And then he proceeds to challenge him for next week's Dynamite, Kyle Fletcher versus MJF. But he said, basically, you're going to suffer the same fate as Daniel Garcia. I will break your neck and leave you in a pool of your own blood, and you can only blame Will Ospreay for that. What is Kyle Fletcher's, where do you think Kyle Fletcher goes in this story? Like, just backing up Will, or is there an instance of you? Because when I saw Kyle Fletcher, I was honestly in an instance of, like, does he turn on Will Ospreay, like, because he's not part of the Don Callis family? I'm wondering if we get to the point where that's kind of where we're leading towards. Maybe not soon, but it could be a thing that could happen.
That's where I've been. That's where my mindset is. I saw him always turning on Will. You know, they might not go that way, but that's where I always saw it. So we will see where it goes, but yeah, I was always, oh, he's going to turn on Will kind of thing.
So. Yeah. We then had an FTW backstage promo real quick, which basically said Shibata was all alone going into his match. We then had into the six-man match that was going to be later tonight. We then had the CMLL World Women's Championship Eliminator match between Willow Nightingale and Chris Statlander. We got the match, Willow and Chris. And I like this a lot. I like this a lot. I love, first of all, like I said, I constantly keep saying it, and it just feels nice to be able to say it, and it means something. We have multiple women's feuds that are doing really, really good stuff right now. Willow and Chris doing some great stuff. I think Chris and Stokely have been a lovely pairing. The way that they've just got Statlander's entrance and the way that they've set that up is amazing. Stokely Hathaway is running Twitter and social media with how like some of the posts he's been making. It's been amazing. And this match was honestly like really damn good. I thought they got some good stuff in there. I loved the finish of Chris Statlander getting the pinfall victory and then securing herself a future title shot for the CMLL Women's World Championship. I loved how just Chris was vicious. They made her look really dangerous, I felt like, and Willow got to get a little bit of hell that she had to taste for the first time in a little bit. Like, Chris, like, I think she definitely needed this match for sure, and I think it did exactly what it needed to do.
Absolutely. So this match, it was super exciting because, okay, they have crazy chemistry, and
yes,
I was wondering what it was going to lead to. The whole idea of the chain and the pocket, all that stuff. The thing about it is, I don't think Chris Statlander has this natural charisma as a singles person. So this is very much the old school use of a manager, and I think it has worked better than anything. This is an act that I don't think they should ever break up because it works. I mean, even I could see like what's going on with when Swerve turned and went face, you know, Nana turned too. So I'm like, man, that's how I would do it with this situation. There's no way, you know, that I would try to make Willow, heal at this point. I mean, Chris Statlander and Stokely Hathaway separating at any point. I'm keeping them together forever.
Oh, yeah.
It works. She picks them up, puts them on the step, Saturday night. It's so cheesy, but he delivers it, so it works. And then, of course, there's Willow, who's, you know, a goddess of this world. And, yeah, she got pinned. And that sucked. But, I'm thinking, I know they like to do them in Texas, but in all in, for the CMLL title, Willow versus Chris Statlander, Texas death match. Let's go.
That would violence. Be a banger.
I want violence. I want violence. Like, yeah, I just think that is the match. Maybe even a female dog collar match. I don't know how that would go over. I don't know if there's any type of, you know, sensitivities to that. I don't know. I'm just like, it's just wrestling to me. So, but yeah, it would be very fun to see them take their feuds to levels that generally have been reserved for men, you know, and like, yeah, female dog collar match. Let's go. Let's tie them together.
And you can get some blood feud matches out of this.
Straight in.
This or if you did, I mean, like, let's be frank here. It could be this, or it could be the amazing feud between Mariah May and Mariah May and Toni Storm, too. Like, either of them. Either of them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Both of them work that way. I feel like Mariah May and the reason, and just so you can understand my logic, that Mariah May and Toni Storm are going to be doing their thing, and it's going to be a regular match. And then Mercedes and Britt is going to be a regular match that you might, you know, for a little variety, you know, throw out a Texas death match, a ladder match, something like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, exactly. We then had the biggest moment of the entire show, which was Bryan Danielson coming down to the ring and basically said his opening was, you don't realize it's the good old days until they're almost gone. And he talked about presents and promises. And I'm like, here we go. I'm like, let's get the waterworks ready. And he basically said how lucky he had been in his career, how he got everything taken away from him, but then he was able to come back and be present, and how he's had the most fun of his career in these last 3 years that he's been with AEW and being present through all of them. And then he said, I promised my daughter when she was 7, I would stop wrestling full time, and that the AEW contract that he signed would be the last full time wrestling contract he would ever sign. That contract ends tomorrow. And he said, I also promised that I was going to win the AEW World Championship. And he's kicked a lot of people's heads in, but he has not won the AEW World title. But he was going to do it at Wembley Stadium, at All In, and give 100% where 110% is not possible. Bryan Danielson then gets interrupted by Swerve Strickland. And he said, I respect the hell out of you. He built him up and he said, you're one of the greatest of this generation, but I'm one of a kind. And he said, you're going to win the world title and kick people's heads in. I guess you couldn't handle it when people started kicking back. And he said, this is not an achievement award. It shows that you're better than everyone and beyond a shadow of a doubt, you're the best wrestler in the world. You challenged Will Ospreay, you lost and you got hurt. I took him on and I won. You were in Anarchy in the Arena and you lost. I led Team AEW and we won at Blood and Guts. Maybe your body can't handle the pressure of being a champion. So he said, I promise to you that I'm the most dangerous man in AEW and you are not going to be walking out of All In as champion and you may not even walk again. And then Swerve was told by Brian, he had one more promise. If I don't win the AEW World Championship, I will never wrestle again. It's career versus title at All In. And they agreed. And he said, Swerve basically went, that's very noble, but don't keep that promise to me. Keep it with your family. And they shook hands. So it's career versus title at All In. Bryan Danielson versus Swerve Strickland. Maybe this is just me, my gut-wrenched thoughts immediately when he said this. As soon as Bryan said his career for the title, I was like, oh, Bryan's winning.
Yeah, and that's why I hated them saying title versus career.
Uh-huh.
I hated it. I was just like, dude, I know what they're trying to do. Title versus career, you put that on the billboard, you put that on all the advertisement, you try to move 10 to 20 more thousand tickets because I think they're right at 40, and you're trying to get to, you know, as many people in the building as you can. The more people in the building, the better. So you're trying to give it that special feel. This might be Bryan Danielson's last match, and it may work. It may drive the audience to get there, but for me, it was like, I feel like you're telling me who's going to win. You know what right. I mean? Because I think Bryan Danielson's a man of his word. And I think if he had a career match and he lost, he would never wrestle again. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's at that point at his age now that he's willing to say he's never going to wrestle again. But he also wouldn't, you know what I mean? So I don't think he can. I mean, to me, it just like, okay, this person is winning. That's where it went there to me. I'm hoping it's wrong. They build the intrigue. They do something, but it's just like, it just feels like Bryan Danielson's winning.
Like I said, that was kind of where my mind went to immediately. And that's because like, I am like super gung ho about these type of stuff. And yeah, you kind of, like I said, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, it's a selling point for a match 1,000%, but because of how smart wrestling fans I are at this point, or at least like within the know, it feels like you're giving too much information. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because, you know, you did this with Cody, and he lost, and he never challenged for the title again, which is fine. But then you did it with the Young Bucks, where it felt like they were kind of making fun of Cody at the time. I remember me thinking that. But then, you know, they won. And it's just like, I don't know. I think, you know, when you look at the big scheme of things, I think Bryan Danielson definitely would lose. But I don't think they're going to have him lose.
No, I don't think so either. Because, I mean, like, again, he's been such a big part of AEW in these last few years, and he's been huge. Like, I can't imagine they wouldn't, you know.
Send him out, like.
No, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Like, let him be champion. Like, you know what I mean?
You see what they did for Sting. And I just, like, I think, you know, for Bryan Danielson, he's going to get to go out. He's going to get just as much respect. He's going to get to go out his way, whatever way that is, you know?
No, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, so that whole segment, though, was probably one of the best parts of the show. I mean, like, it was the part that everyone could not stop talking about. I thought it was great. Promos itself, and it definitely does build hype for the match. Like I said, I do wish that it wasn't the case, that it wasn't what was said. But, you know, even still, it's an exciting match. Bryan Danielson then ran into Jeff Jarrett, who was cheering him on, like, that's what I'm talking about, going all in. And he said, you want to see if I'm all in? You and me next week. So Brian's like, just like, he's in full fight or flight mode.
I thought that was hilarious because it was like, he had that oh shit moment. Like, Jeff Jarrett's like, I didn't want to fight you. All right. Like, Jeff, even Jay Lethal's like, what the hell's going on here? Like, what's going on? Like, that's not what we were trying to do. That's not what we were trying to accomplish. That kind of thing. So I thought it was very entertaining because it was just like,
yeah. We then had a trios match between the Undisputed Kingdom and the Beast Morthos and Roosh. It was Roderick Strong of the Undisputed Kingdom who was in the match, Roosh and Beast Morthos versus the Conglomeration, which, side note, on Collision, when they had Kyle O'Reilly hold freaking Mark Briscoe's title and he's babying it, and then they had his actual kid show up and be another member of the Conglomeration was adorable. I thought it was so cute. Had to mention that. And then just the fact that they're called the Conglomeration too is just, I don't know, man. It fits so well for how Frankenstein this team is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think that's on purpose. It's like when you have a conglomeration, you don't like need to like, oh, have a reason. It's just like, we're friends. We're just having each other's back. It's not like, hey, maybe one day we'll stop being, you know, stop doing this. Hey, maybe we'll have to fight each other. It's not that big a deal because, you know, we just want to make sure, we're just trying to make sure we got fair matches here, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, so, yeah, no. I will say, I enjoy seeing the conglomeration together. This match was fine. I thought it was fine enough. I was shocked that the Beast Morthos actually got the win by pinning Mark Briscoe. That was something I was not expecting. It just worked out the way that it did.
Yeah, and it feels like they might be, you know, doing this weird thing called building something for Ring of Honor. It's wild. Like, what?
I know.
Yeah, weird. What? You mean you have this other wrestling company and you actually going to do stuff for it? Oh, cool.
Yeah, instead of just having them show up on Dynamite and lose over and over again.
And yeah, when Beast Morthos got the dude is super over in Texas. I mean, like, dude, like they could have put a belt on him that night. And no one would have questioned it. Yeah, Beast Morthos is he is definitely over in Texas.
Yeah, so I mean, it was very surprising to see. Would love to see him continue to grow. The conglomeration is a fun tag team, a fun trio that I like seeing in the ring. Match itself was fine. You know, I couldn't really give you much else to think about the match, but it was nice to see, you know, like you said, Ring of Honor talent actually being able to do things, and you know, you would like to see them continue to find that growth of being able to build Ring of Honor stories on Dynamite, you know, instead of just the other way around.
Yeah, I don't want it to be a Ring of Honor show, of course, but it's just, you know, you want to add a little something, you know, sweeten the pot.
But again, like, don't just have Ring of Honor talent to build AEW storylines. Like if a Ring of Honor storyline is big enough where it needs to be mentioned on Dynamite, mention it on Dynamite.
Correct. You know? I completely agree.
We then had the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass say that they were coming to Collision, looking to fight FTR in their own territory, but they're nowhere to be found. Are you frightened of the Blood and Guts MVPs? And then that's when they said, FTR, we're going to come to you on Saturday night. Will you show up? It's time to nut up or shut up. So now all of a sudden the Acclaimed has decided to go after the FTR. You fools. You absolute fools. Yeah, so I'm going to be excited to see that happen, and I'm going to be excited to see FTR do what they do, because right now, dogs, me and Floyd already weren't big enough the Acclaimed recently. Now you've just stepped on our boys, so, like, you know.
I mean, this is how I see it. I once drove all the way to Austin to watch FTR lose to the Acclaimed. So, The claim, you kind of owe me one, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, so, no, I, you know, and it was just like, I know this, what I'm about to say will be sacrilege to some wrestling fans. My heart would not be broken is if they do FTR, the Acclaimed in the Young Bucks and Wembley, like a triple threat match.
That would be a fun match.
That would not break my heart, and I feel like that's somewhat what's being built here. And, you know, I think exactly what you just said. I think it would be fun. Like, is it going to be the greatest match ever? I don't know, but I think it would be fun. So let's go. Let's fucking go.
Let's get this thing going, guys. Yeah,
the battle cry of AEW. Let's fucking go.
We then had a sit-down interview with the Glamour Mariah May, basically being like, what more do I have to explain about why I did what I did? It's clear from day one. I said I wanted to be just like Toni Storm. I got her trust and sliced her open and wore her skin. What do you not understand? And Renee was like, why her, though? What did Toni Storm ever do to you? She's like, nothing. That's why she was perfect. She always said this business would eat you alive. I guess it was just my turn to eat. Some pretty great lines from Mariah. And then, of course, we had Timeless Toni Storm, which the week prior, she ran out and made her return to jump Mariah May and had security separate her. Toni screaming at Mariah, are you prepared to die? Because I am, which, Jesus Christ. Her promo on Collision was also really, really good. And then on Dynamite this past week, Toni gets on the ring and goes, Mariah May, you said you loved me. Well, I love you too. And they say, you should find what you love and let it kill you. And then she takes the shoe that was used against her and is smashing it against her head, going at All In. It's going to be the romance of a bloody lifetime. Toni Storm is a woman possessed. Like, she has... I know that what she's done with her look is a reference. I'm not smart enough to know the reference of the actress that she, like, the way that she's going around it. You know what I mean? That being said, though, holy shit, the fire that is in this girl when she talks now is incredible. Like I said, Blood Feud. You want to give these two girls a dog collar match? That shit would be crazy.
I think it's building to something. I think it's their hottest feud. I think all the stuff has been great. Mariah May, I've actually listened to someone say that her stuff hasn't been that great. But the thing is, when you really don't have a reason for screwing somebody over, it's like, I think it fits perfectly. Because she literally was just taking a shortcut to the top. She rode,
yeah.
She rode Toni as long as she could, and then in the end, when she was done with her, you know, she hit her with the shoe.
She got all the way to getting a title shot, and then she's like, "All right, now I go in for the kill."
Yes, and you know, we had friends hating each other. We've had friends hating each other, and and they went a different way with it with MJF and Adam Cole last year, and everybody. Well,
yeah, it's funny you mention it. We've had two feuds that got started of best friends turned enemies, basically MJF and Adam Cole, and unfortunately that one was derailed because of injury. And then you had best friends exploding that got derailed because of injury. So what I'm saying is, fuck off with your injuries. Don't ruin this. This is one of my favorite feuds that we got right now. Don't ruin this for me.
Yeah, and that's what I'm just saying. It's just like, right now, we've done this the other way. MJF and Adam Cole didn't turn on each other. And people hated it. Universally hated it. They wanted...
Yeah.
They wanted
the
fire.
They were ready for the heel turn at All In.
Yeah. So now we're doing it straight up. Hey, she hates Toni. Toni hates her. They're about to put on an amazing match because, you know, they've been preparing for this match for a year. So I think it's going to kill, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to this. I think it's going to be amazing. We'll then move on to the debut match on Dynamite for the Brick House, Camille versus Brittany Jade. So the week prior, we said, well, I think it was me too. I said, get this girl a bodyguard for Mercedes Moné. Got her a bodyguard. Camille is there as her new, basically, bodyguard. And she dominated Brittany Jade in a squash match this week. But she also looked pretty damn vicious last week when she came out on a collision. I mean, on a Blood and Guts and beat up Britt Baker and just put her in a torture rack and was just throwing her around. She looked pretty damn vicious. And said she's basically the new member of Money Incorporated. And Money Incorporation, I should say. And she said, basically, Britt is obsessed with me, but who's not obsessed with the CEO? And they mentioned what happened at Comic-Con, where they got into a fight at San Diego Comic-Con, which I love that they actually showed that on the show. And she said, basically, you've been suspended by the EVPs, and I'm about to turn this house into a mansion. Losing to me at All In will be the greatest thing that's ever happened to you, because money changes everything. So continuing to establish Camille now as her muscle and building towards that match at All In. It was a squash match, but Camille looks like the perfect kind of bodyguard I was asking for Mercedes Moné. Now, make sure there's no mention of the Evie dickheads, and we're all good.
This is the perfect use of Camille. The perfect use of Camille. I don't know if a lot of people that listen to the show ever hear her talk. She does not have the most intimidating voice ever. So the silent person that beats people up is her role.
Brick House is also a good name.
Yes, she's the Brick House. Great name. She's the Kevin. She's the Diesel to Mercedes Shawn Michaels. And whenever you're ready to turn Mercedes face again or be her good guy, oh, the ass whooping Camille's going to give her is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
This is Wardlow and MJF. This is all the stuff.
Yeah.
This is perfect. Don't say anything. Don't ruin it. She can't talk. You know what I mean? Okay, boss, or something like that. But keep it short. Right. Keep her intimidating. As long as she doesn't talk, she maintains this mystique and badassness. Because, you know, there are people, you know, unlike us, who go back and watch everything after somebody debuts. There are people that just want to see what she is now. So let that happen. Roll it out.
Yeah. We go into the main event now. Hangman Adam Page versus Darby Allin. First of all, kind of insane that this match has never happened before. Second of all, these guys kicked the shit out of each other. I loved Hangman immediately trying to get a steel chair and chasing Darby up the ramp, which I thought was awesome. There was a point where Darby does his dive through the bottom and middle ropes, and I swear to God, he went head first into Hangman's head. Like, Jesus Christ, dude, be careful. And then also, too, unfortunately, seemingly the power went out for a moment because the lights went off during the match, and then they were off for quite some time, and then they came back on to nothing, which was clearly not supposed something that was supposed to happen. And we checked to see if it was storming in South Carolina when it happened. No, it was not, but I was like, that was a weird moment. But they also proceeded to immediately pick things up as Darby was able to, I think, that's when he jumped through the ropes, basically, to get that high spot, to get the crowd back into it, which they did get back into it. But it was weird how the light, like, they just had the lights go off for seemingly no reason.
Yeah, Taz said there was kind of power issues earlier in the day, like right after it happened.
He said maybe a fuse went out at one moment. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So they got it back up, which is great. Yeah. And, you know.
And then Darby got thrown into the steps. That was just vicious. And then there was a point where Darby even goes for that buckshot lariat and gets clobbered. But eventually, as the match continues, Hangman goes for the buckshot lariat. Darby falls to the ground, and Hangman then proceeds to be an idiot and just continue to slowly allow Darby to regain his ability and everything like that. And then Darby, with his speed in the moment where it matters most, cradles him up, rolls him up, gets the pinfall, and wins. And Hangman is furious and mad, and Darby has lots of momentum going into his match as he gets ready for All In to take on Jack Perry. And then this show automatically was one of my favorite Dynamites because I didn't have to see the Evie dickheads at all. I didn't have to see Jack Jerkoff around. I didn't see any of them. I did miss Okada. That's one thing I did miss. But, oh, it feels so nice to have a show where they're not on it. Like, it felt so nice because they've been inescapable for me. It's just, let me have this one day, you know? It doesn't happen often, but I actually got to avoid all of them. Like, it was, oh, it was so good. It was so good.
It's hilarious. I love it. You know, yeah, I thought this was a great segment. And you know, no EVPs for you. If that makes you happy.
Oh, it made me so happy.
I'm all for it. As long as you're happy, brother.
But yeah, this match was awesome. I thought it was really well done. And Darby speed that he used at the end to get the roll up was really well done.
Dude, such a great storyline. I'm like, I kind of got lost in train of thought because you went down the Jungle Boy. I was like, we were talking about something here that was important. I loved how much this match and how he just dominated, and then how Hangman got pissed and started trying to blame Bryce. And Bryce was like, you had him. Why didn't you just pin him? And
he
was
like, yeah,
it's like, you had him. It's like, you were trying to hurt him. And yeah, you got rolled up. You got rolled up by Darby. I love it. I love the way they did it. Remember that? I think it was called The Last Supper. Was that the pin he used to do where you wrapped your legs around?
Yes.
Oh, I love that move. That would have been cool if he did it that way, but I liked how it happened because you saw it coming. Because Hangman could have pinned him like 3 times, and then it was like, oh, he's going to get rolled up, and he's going to cost himself the match because he is so angry that he cannot function right now. He cannot function as a normal human being because he is so angry. And it's such a relatable storyline because we've all been there. We've all had that something that pissed us off to the point where a lot of us have to either walk away. I've had it where it's been people I've worked with. I called in. I remember one that was just like someone did something stupid at work and it pissed me off. And I literally just called in and watched movies all day. And they're like, but in wrestling, no, that's not what you do. You are incentivized to use that to hurt someone. So, yeah, he wants to hurt. He wants to hurt Swerve real, real bad.
Yeah, no, he does. And when he gets the chance, it's going to be vicious. It's going to be vicious.
Yeah.
But that was AEW Dynamite from this past week. The big thing is that on Collision, we're going to have it start at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central time. So it's a special start time for Collision. Then in terms of what we have.
I was going to say, it's really smart. They're trying to avoid SummerSlam. If y'all didn't know, they actually record it tonight, which was a big one. This is the only Collision in Arlington show that I plan on missing. So they recorded it tonight. The great thing is, so they recorded the, you know, basically, I have not read the spoilers. So what I'm saying is in general.
Yes.
I was like, they were talking about the acclaimed coming for FTR. And I thought there was a chance that I was going to miss the match. But then they announced that the FTR was going to be in an 8-man match. So I'm guessing the acclaimed's going to challenge them after the match, and then they'll do it like next week, which I'll be there for. So yes, I was like, I didn't even see anything happen, but something made me very, very happy.
Right, exactly. For what we have for Rampage, we're gonna have Eminem Collection facing off against Private Party. You then have Nyla Rose taking on Harley Cameron. Wheeler Yuta will face The Butcher. Brian Keith will be in action as well. And Brian Cage will be in action. That's what we got going on for Collision. And we're also good. Yeah, so Wheeler Yuta and The Butcher. That's another match that got set up for Collision. I mean, for Rampage. For Collision, we're going to have Darby Allin, Mark Briscoe, and FTR take on The Beast Mortos and Undisputed Kingdom. And then for Collision, were there any other matches that were announced for Collision, or was that? I think that might be the only match that we have currently that was announced for Collision.
Yes, I believe so. But you know, it's a hell of a match. It's FTR, the leaders of Collision. No, but it's
damn straight.
Oh, dude, last week it was kind of cool that it looks like the Guns and Juice are going full on good guys. They cut a very fiery promo in Collision, and like everybody seemed to be behind them, and I was excited for it because I like the Guns, so it's always cool when I get to actually, you know, root for people I like.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, there is a preview for those two, and then there's just one little bit of an update thing that we wanted to mention before we get out of here.
Okay. Oh, what did I write? What was the update thing? What does it say?
Basically, the AEW rights deal.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was the AEW media rights. Yeah, that's. I think I put it in two spots on accident.
Okay.
But yes. Dude. Yeah, this. I just want this to get done, and I don't feel like it's going to be done anytime soon. Honestly, it just. I feel like the NBA is holding it up a little bit. And I don't know why that would have anything to do with each other, but it looks like, you know, those, you know, I'm not on that level. I'm not like savvy like all these people are with.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Like I don't cover TV. I just watch wrestling. So I'm hoping this just all gets resolved and we can go back to business as normal, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I believe that's basically where we're all at with that. So there's not really much else to add to it, but I think that's going to close things out for this episode of All Things Elite. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode, and we appreciate all the support that you guys show us and sticking with us, even when I'm unbelievably busy, even when Floyd's trapped at Death Before Dishonor, so he can't make it back to record an episode because he's got wrestling going on. At all times.
There's this weird thing. People may have heard of it. It's called sleep. So
I didn't know what that was for a while.
Yes. And it's crazy because even though I hate it and I never want to do it, sometimes my body just says, hey, Floyd, yeah, we're going to sleep now. And it's like, yeah, that Friday night, it was like, I probably could have been like, hey, let's tape it through. But it would have been like the show of the dead. You wouldn't have wanted it. You wouldn't have wanted to hear it because I was so tired, you know, and then I had to be up 5 hours after, you know, like what we had talked, and I had to be up in 5 hours. So it was like,
yep,
no.
And then I lost the ability to sleep for quite some time.
Yeah. So we're doing our thing. We're doing the best we can. We're trying to be as consistent as possible. I think this is the first week we missed in a while. So,
yeah, in a little while, yeah. So, yeah. And I think it's going to be able to stay consistent, I think, moving forward, as long as football season doesn't completely wreck me. So, yeah, we'll see.
Yes. So, and I will tell you this. This is what's going to happen All In Weekend. I know Noah's up. All In is like when y'all will be watching it. It'll be a lot earlier in the day. So my goal is to, you know, record it. Our goal will be to record it like Monday or Tuesday when I get in. But I will not be recording from London. It's just, you know, can't do it. We're going to get home and then we're literally going to pack and be right back on a plane like 5 hours later to come back here. So just kind of wanted to prepare you for that because I do know that week is going to be like, we're going to get our preview in. I know we're going to get our preview in, but the review, yeah, it'll be probably
with the door.
Yeah, it might be a bit just because of where I'll be.
Exactly. But anyways, guys, thank you so much for tuning into this episode of All Things Elite. We appreciate all of your support. If you enjoy the show, continue to support us by downloading this fine show on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you choose to listen to us on. Download us and give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. Leave a rate, review, and subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And follow us on Twitter at @ATElitePod. You can also follow at Social Suplex, who make this show possible. Check out all the other shows they have on their network. I am at Austin Sumowicz, SZUMOWICZ. And Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. And he, my buddy Floyd, can take us home for this episode of All Things Elite. And go see Deadpool and Wolverine. You'll thank yourself later.
Please go see Deadpool and Wolverine. I did make the joke that it was the greatest movie of all time. But as Deadpool is my favorite comic book character, so just know. And then Ryan Reynolds is one of my favorite actors. So this was a huge merriment of every time there's a Deadpool movie, it's marrying two of my favorite things, which is Ryan Reynolds movies and superhero movies. So I really enjoyed that. Make sure you go see it. But you know what? Do something nice for someone this week. We got SummerSlam this weekend. Guess what? You can actually watch Collision and watch SummerSlam. You don't have to pick. There's no battle. There's no going head-to-head. Collision will end before SummerSlam starts. SummerSlam doesn't. They have a three-hour pre-show, but they don't do matches during the pre-show anymore. So you have no reason to skip Collision for SummerSlam, unless, you know, real life gets in the way. But I was just saying, right, wrestling reason. Do you really want to watch 3 hours of clips about what's going to happen in the five-match show? I don't know. I'm going to watch the show. People are coming over to watch the show. I'm excited. But still watch Collision, damn it. Still watch it. All right. But I thank you all for listening to us and being with us. I want to send another special shout-out to my friend Rusty. Like I said, I'm not capable of doing this, and he showed the urgency of someone that was doing it for themselves. And it's a lot of times when you're asking people to do stuff for you, which I don't ask people to do a lot for me, but when you ask people to do stuff for you, they don't necessarily share that urgency that you want them to show, because it's like, oh, that's not their shit. He treated it like it was his, and my PS5 is still running. And when I say, people are like, oh, that it's supposed to do that. Yes, it is. But it hasn't done what it's supposed to do in a very fucking long time. So I am, so it staying on is like a dream come true. So if you can be somewhere and be someone, be something and be nice for someone, do that for them this weekend, because it makes them feel twice as good. And guess what? You get some of that residual good feeling. So with that, I will leave you how I always leave you. Whether it's home, work, or school, always do your best to be elite.